Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 11, verses 27 through 33. In these verses, we see our Lord foiling an attempt by the Jewish leaders to trap him. Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Then they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Let's look at some background notes first of all. In verse 27, we read that they came again to Jerusalem. That is, they came from Bethany to Jerusalem once again. Remember that this is during our Lord's last week on this earth. He's already made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's already cleansed the temple. Now, during these final days, he and his disciples would spend the day in the city of Jerusalem and the nights in Bethany, east of Jerusalem. So he's coming again from Bethany into Jerusalem. Most likely the Lord's good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, found lodging there for the Lord and his disciples. So they would spend the night in Bethany and come again into Jerusalem during the day. We read there in verse 27 that he was walking in the temple, that is, in the temple courts. These are the courts that he had cleansed of the money changers the day before. These are the courts where the Lord would sit and teach the people. And now we read that the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. These men would be members of the Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jews. The Sanhedrin met in a building which was part of the temple complex. These men, we see, were trying to trap the Lord Jesus in his words. They ask him in verse 28, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" By these things, they are specifically referring to the events of the previous day when the Lord cleansed the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers, and cast them out of the temple courts. These men of the Sanhedrin want to know what kind of authority the Lord had. Was it human or divine? And they're trying to trap him in his words. Because if the Lord said his authority was from men, then they would discredit him. If he said his authority was from God, then they would accuse him of blasphemy and use this as an occasion for condemning him to death. Well, the Lord, we see, foiled their attempt by asking them a question. Using a counter question was a common rabbinic debating technique in that day. He asked them, verse 30, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." The baptism of John, that is, the whole ministry of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or from men? Was it derived from heaven, that is, from God, or was it only human authority? The Lord turned the tables. Now they are in a dilemma, and their own authority is in jeopardy. If they answered, "From heaven," then the obvious question would be, well, then why didn't you believe John the Baptist? John the Baptist had announced Jesus as the Messiah. So if the men of the Sanhedrin had answered, "Well, John the Baptist's authority is from heaven," then the Lord could have rightly said, "Well, then why didn't you believe him?" If, on the other hand, these men answered, "Well, John the Baptist's authority was from man," then they would lose all credibility with the people who believed correctly that John the Baptist was a prophet from God. And popular opinion was very important to these religious leaders, just as it is in politics today. Well, true to their character, these religious leaders said that they didn't know because they didn't want to answer the question. And at that, the Lord says, verse 33, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, what doctrinal points or teaching points can we draw from this event? Doctrinal point number one, giving creative answers to the opposition is biblical. Giving creative answers to the opposition is biblical. The Bible certainly teaches that point here. The Lord Jesus many times gave creative answers to the opposition, and we should follow his example. Remember when the Pharisees asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" You can read about that in Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Again, we see there the Pharisees were trying to trap the Lord Jesus in his words. The Lord gave a creative answer to the opposition there. What did he say? "Show me a penny or a denarius. Whose image is on it?" And when they show him the denarius with the image of Caesar, the Lord said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." What could they say? Their mouths were closed. The Lord gave a creative answer to the opposition. Well, the same here. Here in Mark chapter 11, the Lord's creative answer to the religious leaders who opposed him turned the tables. Now they are in a dilemma. Giving creative answers to the opposition is biblical. Now, I know some of you are saying at this point, "Well, yeah, that's great if you can come up with a creative answer. But, you know, normally when we're asked questions by the opposition, we just don't, on the spur of the moment, come up with a creative answer." Well, there's a lot of times when we're not going to be able to come up with a creative answer. But at least we should try, and the Lord will give us help, and maybe we should even prepare some creative answers for the typical questions the opposition will raise. For example, somewhere along the line, the opposition is bound to ask you as a Christian, "What's your evidence for the existence of God?" Now, how are you going to answer that question? Now, you may want to go into all kinds of Christian evidences and proofs, the cosmological argument for the existence of God, the argument from design, and so forth. But you could give a creative answer by asking a counter question such as, "Does life really have meaning if there's no God?" Or to the questioner, you might say, "How do you find meaning in life if there's no God?" Now you've turned the tables. Now they have to somehow show that there can be meaning to life, even though we're only, from their perspective, a complex arrangement of molecules. Now that's pretty hard to do. If we're only a more complex arrangement of molecules than this chair, for example, it's pretty hard to get meaning out of life. So with a creative answer, you've turned the tables. Giving creative answers to the opposition is definitely biblical. Doctrinal point number two, pointing out the inconsistencies of the opposition is biblical. Pointing out the inconsistencies of the opposition is biblical. Not only did the Lord give a creative answer to the opposition, his answer showed their inconsistency. That's why they didn't give an answer. They couldn't. Whatever they would answer would show that they were inconsistent. Incidentally, the Lord did answer their question. He didn't avoid it, but he did it in such a way as to show that they were inconsistent. The Lord certainly approved of John the Baptist's ministry. He certainly pointed out that the ministry of John the Baptist was from God. Luke chapter 7, verse 28, the Lord said, "I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." So when the Lord asked them that question, the ministry of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or from men? He was certainly indicating that his own authority was from God, because he certainly pointed out that the ministry of John the Baptist was from heaven. But you see, his creative answer pointed out the inconsistency of the opposition. They couldn't answer. Even the casual observer, the casual onlooker there in the temple courts, would have seen that these religious leaders are inconsistent. Pointing out the inconsistencies of the opposition is biblical. Illustration. I remember being asked on more than one occasion by the opposition, "Do you believe homosexuality is right or wrong?" Now, the best answer to that question to show the inconsistency of the opposition would be to say something like, "What do you mean by right and wrong? How do you define right and wrong?" You see, now it won't be long before the opposition shows that it's inconsistent. You really can't talk about right and wrong without some moral standards. And without moral absolutes, right and wrong is just arbitrary. Pointing out the inconsistencies of the opposition is definitely biblical. Practical application. Let's be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let's be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, that's what the Lord told his disciples as he sent them out to preach. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Be wise or shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. We certainly see the Lord practicing this principle right here in Mark chapter 11. His creative answer to the opposition was shrewd in that it showed their inconsistency. But it was harmless as a dove. He didn't break any laws. He didn't incite the people to revolt. We too should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The opposition is certainly out to get us and find fault with our conduct and trap us in our words. We need to be extremely careful in the way we answer the opposition. Let's not give the opposition the opportunity to point out inconsistencies in our life and testimony. Let's not give the opposition the opportunity to accuse us of breaking laws or inciting people to overthrow the government. Let's not give the opposition the opportunity to make our Christian faith look foolish. Let's be wise and shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, one way in which Christians can be wise as serpents and harmless as doves is to use their voting power more wisely, more shrewdly. Whether it be a school board or a local issue or a national election, Christians can vote in line with what's right and in many cases control the outcome. That's to be wise and shrewd as serpents, yet harmless as doves. That's the way we should deal with the opposition. Let's be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.